Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Todd Tomasella coming from Dallas, Texas, and we've got Frank Telford on the line all the way from Virginia. Good morning, Brother Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. I'm trying to stay warm. It's about 19 degrees here.
19 over there. Well, we got it like probably 30-something over here, so we will consider ourselves blessed. And speaking of heat, we're going to talk about the heat of the enemy and how to overcome the enemy today. As we see in Scripture, something we call spiritual warfare. You know, Brother Frank, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that's not really anchored in Scripture that we've got to be aware of. And hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, some of that will be cleared up today through the Word of God, because the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. And, you know, Brother Frank, I was reading something you wrote recently about wrestling and how Paul uses not only wrestling, but also the illustration of boxing and running or track. And so when, you know, let me stop right there to say, when people have told me in the past, that some of these legalistic, crazy people, that sports are a sin, I'm like, well, why did Paul use three sports to illustrate spiritual truth, and he didn't do one thing to condemn sports and themselves? Anyway, I had a guy, somebody had given me tickets to a football game a few years ago, Brother Frank, and some fella just called me to meet with me and to rebuke me that I went to actually attended a football game. And because he was outside preaching at the football game, and I wanted to tell him, you know, you got a lot of catching up to do if you're going to spend as much time preaching on the streets as I have, because I was a little bit older than him. Anyway, that was kind of odd. But anyway, Paul uses three different sports, and one of them is wrestling, which we'll get to in just a second. And in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, like verse 16, 22, right in there, he's talking about running. He says, they that run in the race run all, but only one wins, so run that you may obtain. And he says in spiritual warfare, or overcoming, being an overcoming believer, Revelation 2 and 3, the only ones that are going to be in eternal glory with Christ, that is those who endure to the end with Christ. All who fall away will be vanquished into eternal damnation forever and suffer worse than if they had never been saved, 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. But Paul says that he was not as one who beats the air. If you're a boxer, you got to land that fist on somebody's chin, you know, not just throw it in the air. Now, Brother Frank, we're talking about Ephesians 6:12 today primarily, which the scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, some of the things you spoke about in this write-up about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood was drawing the illustration of some things you learned growing up wrestling, and how the Lord is teaching you to overcome through the Word of God. You want to talk a little bit about that this morning, brother?
I sure do. And I'm glad you shared that verse in 1 Corinthians 9, and also this verse. I had both of those queued up. I was going to talk about that one later when Paul does talk about boxing and conditioning his body and those things of that nature. But it is interesting. Obviously, the Lord was speaking to Paul, and he was using these analogies that he would explain to the people in a manner that they could understand them. And that's how the Lord has spoken to me several times through my own sports, my own times when I played sports, so I could just gain this understanding. And I was focused one time reading these verses in Ephesians 6 about wrestling not against flesh and blood. And then through some trials, tribulations, from some stumbling and falling, the Lord pointed out a couple things to me. And he brought me right back to the beginning of when I started wrestling. And I started wrestling in junior high school. When you walk out to a team, you know, there's guys that have already wrestled many matches. Some guys might be champions. And you walk into a wrestling room, you might just walk up to a guy and the guy's pretty good. He's pretty skilled, and you really don't know what you're doing. You could have all the athletic ability in the world. You could be strong and fast, but if you don't have technique, if you don't have an understanding of how wrestling works, you're going to get whipped. It's just the bottom line. You have to endure through getting whipped up a little bit before you get good. And literally, you step on the mat, and a skilled individual is just going to shoot in, grab your legs, and he's going to take you down. You really can't do too much about it if he's that good. But as a little bit of time goes by and you start to recognize his straightforward attack, he won't do that anymore because you're going to be on guard for it. You're going to be prepared for it. So then what your opponent will do is he's going to try to set you up. He's going to try to get you off balance, and then he's going to try to make you overreact, and then he's going to take you down. But, so it's a calculated series of moves that go on. So, for example, I know he's coming after my leg, so I keep my guard down low. I keep ready. And what they might do is pull your head down a little bit. So if you pop your head up a little too high, then all of a sudden your legs are exposed. Or they might push one way, pull one way, and as soon as you try to maneuver yourself, you've opened up your guard, and there they are. They can kick you down again. And so it's a matter of recognizing these moves and not overreacting and staying prepared. That was the key that the Lord was showing me through that little analogy. And what's interesting is now when he related it to my personal life, he said, now I want you to realize you become a skilled warrior. They're not going to come and just throw something in front of you. They think they can take you down. Now they're going to wait for an opportune time to set you up, and they want you to overreact. And so, for example, you could be going out through your normal day and someone could say, something very rude to you or in the mail, you get a bill from the tax man, a family member does something, or ultimately you just do something to disappoint yourself. Well, that could be the beginning. They're waiting for that opportune time. And so after that, that's when a series of attacks will start. It sets you up to get you to overreact. And the whole point of it is to draw you away from the Lord and not to him. So, for example, many people, when they start to experience a spirit of fear coming into their life or anxiety, they instantly think of medication. A lot of people will turn to alcohol. A lot of people will turn to prescription pills instead of going to the Lord and asking for our peace to be restored. So these things occur in that nature. So it's a matter of being prepared. And as you're reading in Ephesians 6, Paul said to put the full armor of God on so you can withstand the evil in the day. That's a representation of being ready, because the attack is going to come. Today it's 9 o'clock here on the East Coast time. There's a good chance today I will be attacked. But now that I know it, I'm ready. I'm guarded up. I'm ready. I'm armored. I'm ready to fight. And that's half the battle right there. You can't stop it. They're waiting for an opportune time. Even when Satan tempted Jesus, it said after the three temptations, he left, but he said he was coming back when an opportune time, presented itself. So
he wasn't going away for good. Yeah.
No.
He wasn't going away for good. He was coming back, wasn't he? Go
right.
ahead, brother.
And that's what you have in the book of James, where he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he's going to come back. You just have to know he's going to come back. But that's kind of the pattern of defense.
That means we get to beat him again, right?
Exactly.
That means we get to win again with Christ. Go ahead, brother.
I was going
to
say, and that's the pattern of victory. It's submit. You often hear people will say, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Well, that's not happening unless you submit to God. That's the first part. That's where we get our answers. I didn't just want to present the fact that you're going to be attacked. You will be attacked. I mean, this is an ongoing battle. Paul says, arm up daily. That this is a battle that we're in.
Let's talk about that verse you just quoted, because perhaps this is the most important truth on spiritual warfare in the Bible. In fact, as you mentioned, there is absolutely no victory over the enemy, greatest enemy being ourselves. Amen. Romans 7. If we don't submit to God. Now, I'm just absolutely flabbergasted at how many people can teach on spiritual warfare, as they call it. I mean, these people are creating things just to make money, I guess. I don't know. But all of these teachings on spiritual warfare, and you meet all these people that aren't submitted to God. Oh, they're charismatic, so-called spirit-filled. I'm wondering what spirit they're full of. It ain't the Holy Spirit. because he would be leading them to the Word of God, and they're not submitted to God. But yet they're going through all these courses on spiritual warfare, and they know so much about it. Nonsense. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Step one, priority, absolutely, law of first mention here. In other words, if without this, you can forget the rest of the verse,
yeah,
the rest of the
forget the rest
scripture.
Of it.
You got to submit yourself to God. Then and only then can you resist the devil. You can rebuke him. And I love the way Michael, the archangel, did it, Brother Frank. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He was in, we are to be in Christ. And so the devil is rebuked by the name of the Lord, not us. We're no match for the devil in and of ourselves. He will destroy us. But Jesus, and when we're in him, we have the full authority of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, to which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. But the most important thing is not shouting at the devil. No, especially not when you're not hiding behind God, if you will. We're dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. But anyway, you see this happening in the Bethel Church movement and all these Looney Tune movements out of Kansas City, you know, with C. Peter Wagner, the NAR delusion, New Apostolic Reformation movement, and all the witchcraft they've brought in and call it biblical spiritual warfare. Anyway, submitting ourselves to God, folks, is the most important key. And then when we do that, we're able to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, Brother Frank. And that's good news. Now, real quick, I had a friend, and he's a really neat Christian guy, if you will, for years. Haven't talked to him in a while, and we used to supply him with tracts and stuff. He'd go all over the world, and he's written books on spiritual warfare. And people fly him to Germany and all over America and the world to cast out devils and stuff. But, you know, I got to wonder what's going on years after knowing him. When I asked him, I said, are you getting these people to repent, to submit to God? And anyway, it seemed to be that he wasn't. Yeah, you know, I wasn't there with him when he was doing it, but it didn't seem like... I said, man, you are absolutely wasting your time to try to cast out demons out of people whom Satan has full legal right to, because they're not submitted to God. They have not repented. You have to get them saved. You got to give them the law to convict them and invite them to repent and lay down their life. And that's the only way, when the kingdom, the domain of King Jesus, comes into their heart and life, that they're going to be able to overcome the devil, because that's how you submit to God right there, folks. If you're not born again, you need to be born again. And God's the only one that can do that, as you submit yourself to him, admitting fully what he already knows, that you are completely, fully guilty before him for breaking his law. You have lied. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You've had other gods before him, namely yourself. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill. If you've hated someone or not forgiven them, you have murder in your heart. You're guilty before God. If you've used his name in vain, you're guilty before God. The scripture says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, etc., etc. You are guilty and you need Christ. And the Bible says that if you'll repent and put your faith in Christ, you will be saved. And then and only then will you have power over this vast enemy who is presently and temporarily the small g god of this world. And his outreach through fallen man is extensive. And the only way you can overcome is by submitting yourself, therefore, to God and resisting the devil. Then you'll be able to, that is. And he has to flee from you. The coming kingdom of God is going to be something you don't want to miss. And the only way you're not going to get swept up in the river of fire of the enemy that's going to wash you right into the lake of fire is going to be to submit to God, Brother Frank. And it's a glorious thing to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus told his disciples to not rejoice at the fact that they had power over the devil, but to do what? To rejoice that their names were written in heaven. I believe that's Luke chapter 10. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, beginning in about verse 7. The 70 returned with joy because he had sent them to cast out devils and preach the gospel, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What? How does that fit into this? Well, let's talk about it. Let's finish the passage. Behold, I give unto you power, Jesus said in verse 19, to tread on serpents and scorpions, that represents demonic powers, as we see listed in Ephesians 6, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I love that verse. I memorized it years ago, Brother Frank. It's brought great comfort to me, and this is a truth that's anchored in being submitted to Christ in an abiding relationship. Amen. And then verse 20, notwithstanding. Now, I've given you power over the enemy, but in this rejoice not, that the spiritual is subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that comes by the sheer mercy of God through the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross once for our sins. Hallelujah. Now, what is he saying here when he says in verse 18, they come back, Lord, Lord, man, we cast out some devils, verse 17. Then Jesus says, well, wait a minute now. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, when you study that out of Ezekiel 28, et cetera, Satan was thrust out of heaven violently by God because iniquity was found in his heart, and he was vanquished from the presence of God as far as in the inner sanctum of heaven forever. Jesus is seeing in his 12, as he's seen in each of us, we're all guilty of this, in our immaturity, that same pride. They basically had their hands on the hips, and they were a little bit proud, if you will, maybe a lot, very much proud, too proud, obviously, that they had the power of Jesus to cast out devils. But Jesus said, look, I saw that same pride in Lucifer before he was kicked out of heaven and now is called Satan. And you better be careful and be anchored in the truth that your names are written in heaven. And that's through his blood, folks. So we rejoice in Christ alone. And that's part of being submitted to God, that all glory goes to the Lord and not to us. Amen. Amen. So that same pride he was seeing in his disciples. So we got to be careful. And that's what I was referring to earlier. And many of you know what I'm talking about. These people that are trained by the completely false prophets of the NAR movement, Bethel Church, Bill Johnson, all of these complete warlock flakes. They're warlocks is what they are, operating as supposed Christian pastors and leaders. They know exactly what they're doing. Don't be deceived. These people are running around proudly. These women, I'm telling you, there's more. I haven't met hardly a woman involved in that movement that's not a Jezebel, a complete unsubmitted Jezebel that has no characteristics of a godly, virtuous woman, and yet she's learning spiritual warfare. That's an interesting and ugly concoction, Brother Frank. So let's talk more about wrestling not against flesh and blood, brother.
Well, you brought up some very interesting points, man. That was well said. One of the things that struck me that you just said is when Jesus, and you were just right on the money when he said, don't rejoice in the fact that, you know, you have the authority to cast out devils, but by the fact that your name is written in the book of life. What does that tell us? That tells us salvation. And where do we gain our salvation through? And that's through him. And what did Paul say to do? Put on the full armor of God. And what was one of those pieces? It was the helmet of salvation. If I can take us through this real quick, he says, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel and peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? That's Jesus. He says, having your loins girded about with truth. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Where is our righteousness found? And above all, taking the shield of faith, within you shall be able to quench the fiery darts. You know, who is our faith rested in? And then that goes right back to where he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we've been talking about, the Word of God, the Bible, you know, which is our weapon that we can take captive of every thought. We can stand on the promises he's given us in these words. We can understand it, and we can fight him with it, just like Jesus fought Satan when he tempted him three times. Each time he used a verse or he used an analogy to out of context. But Jesus quickly reminded him and said, no, this is what the Bible says. You have to know the Bible to be able to fight like that. I kind of saw his is we have to become skilled, like Paul was saying. We have to become skilled at what we're doing. We got to run the race to win it. And you're not going to be able to, like I said, when I started off wrestling, until you put in the time and the effort and the hard work and the practice, you did not get to a point where you could deal with some of these skilled guys. You would continually get beat down every time you wrestled. That was a fact. But as you realize, I didn't come to get on this mat to lose. I came to win. You know, he said, run the race to win. So we're in a situation where I'm going to practice. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to train. I'm going to study. And I'm going to do what I need to do. So when I meet my opponent, I'm going to be prepared because I want to win. I don't want to just keep getting worked over. You know, you brought up another real interesting point as well about these deliverance ministers who are going around and casting out, you know, all types of devils. And if they have not, if they're not giving the people answers, if the people are not willing to repent, identify what allowed those demons to come into their life in the first place, that's a very, very dangerous place, because what Jesus said, and it's actually unbiblical, because what Jesus said is if a house, you know, a man's house gets cleaned out, and that spirit that left, if he, you know, comes back and finds out that he can come back in, he's not only going to come back in by himself, he's going to go find seven more demons than himself, and he's going to come make it worse for you. And I think we see that progression happen in people's lifestyles, because we see a lot of times in the church you see someone get on fire, and then they have a hard fall, and then it's hard to get them out of that because what had happened is the demon did leave. He sure did, but he came back
temporarily.
And if he did not find you seeking God, and see that armor of God is a perfect representation that we have to be Christ-like. So if you're Christ-like, you're walking in love, you're not holding bitterness, you're not holding forgiveness, you're living holy, you're doing all the things he did, and your mind is focused on him, you are armored up. I mean, it's going to be hard to
attack
you.
You're full of the Spirit. Yeah.
Right. That's a skilled warrior right there.
Exactly, brother. Now, let's sum up, I think, these last few minutes, brother. Is it not true? We're not seeing in Holy Scripture that the way and the only way to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it is so important to learn the Word of God and to memorize Scripture. Jesus quoted Scripture verbatim when overcoming the devil, and he had to leave. Now, clanging coffee cup there. Sorry about that. Now, what we have to realize is that it's only out of a submitted life, that we can wisely and correctly wield the sword of the Spirit. Jesus was completely committed to his Father. He did nothing that he didn't hear the Father say or see the Father do, and said nothing that he didn't hear the Father say, Jesus told us in John 5, verse 30, etc. So the submitted life. Now, this is what's missing in most, if not all, unfortunately, so-called spiritual warfare teaching. We're not teaching the abiding life with Christ, which means you live unto the Lord according to his prescription, okay? I see so many people that are supposedly following Christ, but they don't know and could care less to know his word. And, oh, yeah, I know. When you're talking the word with them, they're, oh, yeah, whatever. They're backing you off. It's like, person is not of God, literally. Because Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Folks, if you're not open to the word of God, if you're pushing it away, if you're running from it, you're in darkness. The good news is that you can repent, because if you hear my voice, you're not in hell already. So the good news is God is calling you to repent. And when you do, you're going to be broken before the Lord. And when somebody's ministering to you, I don't care if you've been saved 80 years, you're going to be like a little child listening to the word of God when the word of God is addressed. And that's the lamp unto our feet, the word of God, and a light unto our path. We run on that track, if you will. We hearken to, listen to, and obey the word of God, which has all things that pertain unto life and godliness therein. Brother Frank, now, verse 18, as you read in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication simply meaning humble requests. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You're praying for the saints. And over, Jesus warned us to be ready. I was thinking about that, Brother Frank, when you were talking earlier. Example, Luke chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." Also, chapter 21 of the book of Luke. What a fascinating gospel, Dr. Luke. Verse 34, Brother Frank, it says, "And Jesus says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down with surfeiting." That is, what is surfeiting? It is overeating, overindulgence. Man, America is baptized with Laodicean, excess, if you will. Most of Americans are overweight. What does that tell you? That tells you something. They've eaten too much. That's all it tells you. And take heed to yourselves. It's personal responsibility he puts on you, my friend, on me. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, overeating, overindulgence, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Now, before I read the next two verses, this is for all the marbles. And spiritual warfare is submitting to God so that you can overcome. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said, "Only the overcomers among his people will be with him in eternal glory. All others will be vanquished into eternal damnation because they fell away, like the five foolish virgins." This is for all the marbles, if you will. This is for everything we have to overcome. And so we take heed to ourselves so that we're not overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this world, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare or a trap shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now Jesus is talking to his own people. Not lost souls, to his own people. And if they were guaranteed heaven just because they had initially been saved, Jesus would have never said things like this. Jesus would have never said you must endure to the end to be saved. Twice in the book of Matthew, you're never going to hear "you once saved, always saved," or Calvinist devils ever quote those verses. And those are Jesus's words. Jesus said you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but only those who endure to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:10-13. Jesus is speaking in context in Matthew 24 of the last days when iniquity is going to abound and the love of many is going to wax cold, but only those who endure to the end will be saved. Folks, I want to encourage you that if you have called upon the name of the Lord to freshly repent and to resubmit yourself to God today, and to keep your dukes up. Keep your dukes up. Keep your dukes up. Keep fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Be sober. 1 Peter 5:8. Brother Frank, you put this in your message. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Frank, I used to box in high school, was part of a Golden Gloves boxing team and stuff, so can definitely relate to what you were saying earlier. That's what Paul is using in 1 Corinthians 9, folks. I want to encourage you to go read that. We don't beat the air. We don't get involved in movements that are just teaching things that aren't anchored in the full counsel of God. I believe some of you may have seen where they were leaving out things through today's talk with scriptures such as James 4:7. Please memorize it. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, imbue these words in the depth of our being. Let the engrafted word of God be a part of our lives and give us the holy conviction of the Lord and his truth in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.